Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Fiction. Science fiction. Horror. Fantasy. Crime. LGBT. Thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCB. 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 105.0 AM Palm Springs.
Okay, we're back, and joining us now is the guest we were talking about, Daisy Coos. Thank you for being here, Daisy.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate your time.
Wow. Daisy, now we've both been through the book and we've talked a little bit about it and there's quite a bit of talk about this book. Lost Innocence. So what made you write this book and you know, where did it come from you? Like what part of your makeup did this book?
The book came about last year. I learned along with the rest of the world who Joseph James D'Angelo truly was. I knew him back in the 80s. When I learned that who he was and my experience with him, I felt the need to write the book because as I got more into the idea of telling my story to the police and authorities, I was told that the raids didn't really count in so many words. They just didn't count because the statute of limitations was up. He was being prosecuted for the murders. But that's the way it was almost presented to me, was the rapes just don't count. We can take your report. We can tell your, you know, we'll have this in a file, but we cannot prosecute him. That is what I was told. And I became angry. I was infuriated that a woman could be raped and in a certain amount of years it just disappeared. So I wanted to tell the story. I wanted to tell my story. I wanted to give my girlfriend Lisa from California, who was also raped by him, a voice. That's truly what the book was about. I felt that without the book, our stories would never be heard.
Mm. Now, maybe explain to people, how well did you know him before?
Very well. I had known him for about 2.5 years before the sexual assault happened with me.
What kind of relationship did you have with him before?
We met in the mall. He presented himself as a photographer who wanted to take my photos. He came into the restaurant where I worked in Citrus Heights and just befriended me. I was new to the community. He was 15 years my senior. Very charismatic. There were times I'd see him twice a week, and then there were times I wouldn't see him for a month. But We became pretty good friends. We had many conversations. I met his baby daughter. I knew that he was married. I was married part of the time that I knew Joe. And I would consider him a friend. It was never a romantic relationship. Just a basic friendship.
What kind of things did you guys talk about in general? Like what was, when you saw him, what were your interests with each other?
He had a baby daughter. She was just gorgeous, and I just thought Joe was an amazing man. This guy takes care of his daughter. He was a stay-at-home dad. Now, that term was not used back then, but he took care of his daughter while his wife worked. He was married to a very intelligent attorney. He had been a police officer, which I had police officers in my family, so we had that connection. We also had a connection with airplanes. My husband, at the time, his family ran a small airport in Cameron Park, which was just north of Sacramento. So we shared the love of flying, the love of airplanes. There was music. We just seemed to have a lot to talk about, you know, when we did see one another.
How long was it before something bad happened?
Right around 2.5 years before something bad happened.
Mm.
Can you talk about what happened? That there was a change in the relationship from just being casual friends?
It happened. I was just finishing up cosmetology school in Sacramento. I was taking the nail tech classes, and Joe knew I had a lot of fear living in California. I felt like I was being stalked. My apartment had been broken into. My car had been vandalized twice. There was all this talk about this serial rapist guy that, from the locals, you know, me being a young girl, and they all seemed to want to warn me. So I lived with a lot of fear. I think Joe knew, coming right up on when the attack did happen, that I had planned to leave California. I had told him I was not comfortable living there anymore. I was very frightened. I wanted to come home, and Joe knew I was leaving. He did not like it. He voiced that to me. He did not want me to move from California. I believe Joe, this is just my opinion, of course, I believe Joe attacked me when he did because he knew I would be leaving soon.
Mm. I have a question.
Yes.
Why do you think he revealed himself to you in that moment, whereas he'd been so careful with everybody else, as far as we know?
I think our relationship was different than just Joe and the victim. I don't know. I'd love to sit down with Joe and ask. But in my mind, it was either this is going to be the ultimate kill for me, because she's going to see my face, and she's going to realize I'm the one that's been terrifying her for 2.5 years, and this is going to be great. Because to be blunt, it was right at orgasm when he exposed himself to me.
Okay.
And I believe it was, I don't know, I can only guess that it was going to be the ultimate thing. I believe, had my husband been home that night, we would have both died.
After it happened, what was your initial response when you knew who it was?
When he pulled off my blindfold and I was struggling to see who he was, he still had his mask on. I could see his eyes. They were not blue. Joe had beautiful blue eyes. They were black. They were dilated so much. When he exposed himself to me, my initial reaction was, my God, Joe, what are you doing? What the hell, you know, and not in such nice words. I was very confused. I was still in shock from, you know, believing I'm dying. I'm going to die here tonight, you know, at the hands of the East Area Rapist. And when he exposed himself to me, I was in shock all over again. And I just started asking questions. What are you doing? What are you doing, you know?
And you mentioned you call it in the book, at times, a pretend rape. Can you kind of explain your thinking behind that, or what you were thinking at the time that made you come up with that sort of label for it?
I was 22 years old. I had never really even talked to anyone about rape besides Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
Pretend rape. In my mind, I thought I was trying to figure out, did Joe and I talk about this the most so many times that did he think I wanted this? Did I somehow mislead him? I was blaming myself. To me, when he walked out of my apartment that night, I thought it was some mixed up fantasy that he had going on, and that somehow it had just created itself with our conversations about the East Area Rapist and his MO. And I for the lack of a better word, pretend rape, fantasy. I thought maybe it was just fantasy.
Oh, that explains it a bit for me, for sure.
I just wonder, so now after that happened, how did your relationship with him change?
I never saw Joe after it happened. When he left my apartment, it was, I'd say he probably spent 3 hours with me in my apartment that night. After it was all over, after I was cut loose, after I consoled him, after he consoled me and apologized, and I thought we had come to some understanding. I wanted Joe away from me. I thought Joe was high. I thought Joe was drunk. I could smell alcohol on him. He messed around with some drugs, that I was aware of. I wanted him out of the apartment, and I was going to tell him anything he needed to hear to get him out. So I made plans with Joe to meet him the next day. I convinced him I would meet him the next day. All I was trying to do was take control of the situation and get him out of there so I could leave. After he left, I bathed a couple times. I packed two suitcases. That's all I took. Two suitcases, waited for daylight because I felt safe, and I got in my car and I got my puppy and my two suitcases, and I went and drove up to Cameron Park and told my husband at the time that I had to leave. He had known for a while that I wanted to leave California because of my fears. But I never saw Joe after that. I flew out of California not too long after that.
Now, did you ever consider going to the police at that time?
No. Honestly, no. I honestly thought it was miscommunication. I had led that man on somehow. You would have to understand our friendship. And never in my wildest dreams, never one time, and I'll say this to the victims, I'll say this to their family, not one time did I ever think for a second that he was that monster. Not once. Or I would have gone to the police. I thought he was a messed up guy who was in an unhappy marriage, who had some sort of obsession with me, and maybe the East Area Rapist MO, that he was into S&M, that he was high, and he had some weird fantasy that, I never thought that. I didn't consider it rape when I left. I did not. It was with a man I had known for 2.5 years.
Okay, now I think that's kind of from what I understand, that's kind of a key point that some people have problems with you with, right? That, I mean, maybe some attacks on social media and stuff. It's kind of about that point that you never considered it rape. And so you never thought about it as rape, but you felt violated somehow, or?
I felt like I had gotten myself, I was blaming myself. I think a lot of victims do that. I was blaming myself that I'd gotten myself into a very bad situation, that I'd somehow misled him after a 2.5-year friendship. Maybe he had more feelings for me than I had for him. No, I did not consider it rape. Looking back on it now, you know, hindsight's 20/20. I was a little girl. I was 22. I was confused.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Looking back on it now, he was a monster that manipulated me for 2.5 years and finally had his way with me.
Yeah.
So looking back on it now, absolutely, that is rape. Absolutely. I would advise any young girl that is taken advantage of by, he was 15 years my senior, so by an older man, that him saying he's sorry and crying with you on the bed doesn't make it okay.
No. I went through a situation when I was 11 years old. A man tried to abduct me, and I went through that blaming myself for the situation, and really I had nothing to do with it. I was just there, and it was this person's actions that created the situation. It wasn't where I was or what I was doing or anything like that. So I really... really understand you when you're talking about that point, that whole, it's weird. Your brain does weird things when a traumatic event happens to you and you want to blame yourself somehow for drawing it to you.
Especially when you've created a friendship over 2.5 years and you care for the person.
Mm-hmm.
I cared for him. So it was hard for me to separate that. And when I found out last April who he was, I was angry. I was so heartbroken, for one, to realize the danger that I truly was in. God, you know, a lot of prayers got me through that. I've had a lot of therapy to take away that shame and that blame that I had on my young self. You know, he was a master manipulator. And I was a young girl, a young, impressionable girl, very, very gullible, young girl from Ojai.
So even before he was arrested, Michelle McNamara's book came out sort of around the same time, like a little bit before. There was all kinds of information about him in the press. Were you, or about the East Area Rapist in the press, were you ever suspicious that perhaps that was some, that maybe it was him? Just maybe?
Honestly, no. Living in Ohio, I do have friends still in California. That is not a topic of conversation. It hasn't been for many, many years. I haven't thought about the East Area Rapist or Joe or any of that for so many years. So no, I was not one of those people that was on the internet seeing this information. I saw the information along with the rest of the world. And when the pieces started fitting together, it was terrifying. When I saw this old man in a cage, you know, I explain that in the book. I saw him in a cage. I saw this old man and I'm like, yay. You know, they finally got that guy. He used to scare me to death, you know, when I lived in Citrus Heights as a young girl. And I was so happy when they started showing photos of Joe as a younger man. And when I saw the one of him in his police uniform, not that I ever saw him in a police uniform. I did not. He was no longer a police officer then. But it was Joe.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It was Joe, and I said, no way. Nuh-uh. I started bawling. I went into shock. I had never even told anyone about my experience with Joe. I left all that behind me. And then to find out that he's this monster that raped 50-plus women and killed people, it was heartbreaking. It was devastating. I'm telling you, it broke me as a woman to realize all of that. Just absolutely, absolutely terrifying.
Well, and since then, now, have you tried to communicate with him or go see him and confront him about this?
I live in Ohio, so to go visit him would be devastating to hear him refute. Because definitely, yes, I would want that closure if he would ever allow me that. Oh, but the things I would say to this man. However, I did write him a 3-page letter.
Mm.
And it was delivered to him. I cannot tell you if he read it. I have not received a response. But I hope that he reads it. I hope that he reads the book. I hope that I've given enough information that would identify Lisa enough that he will remember who she was. He knows who I am. He knows who I am. So to me, the book was maybe a little bit of, I hate to use the word revenge, but a little bit of a FU to Joe, that you didn't win. You may have owned me for 3 hours in my apartment that night, and you may have, you know, terrified me for two and a half years before that night, but you didn't win. You changed the direction of my life, absolutely, but you didn't win because I went on to have an amazing life and beautiful children. And she's behind bars.
Now, in your book, you also talk about your friend Lisa and about her having, being attacked by Joe as well. And maybe, could you tell us a little bit about that so the listeners kind of get an idea who Lisa is?
I met Lisa when we were both 19 years old. In 1980, I had just moved to California. We worked in the same restaurant together, and she confided in me about a year after knowing me that she had been raped at 16. She had a beautiful little girl who was 2 when I met her, and she described this rape to me, and Lisa had a child that was born from that rape, and she changed her whole life to protect that baby. She did not know who Joe was. The man who raped her was, you know, wearing a mask. He was on a motorcycle. She identified Joe after he was arrested. She identified him by his voice. And a lot of the factors, a lot of the things that factored in with, not being well endowed, the way he spoke. He called Lisa 3 months after he raped her on Christmas to remind her that he would kill her and her family if she reported the rape. And once he was arrested and they released those tapes of Joe speaking, that was her confirmation that it was Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And people have also come at me and said, well, why doesn't she just do the DNA and all that? And I'm like, why would she destroy her child's life? For one, she could do the DNA. She could prove that she has a daughter. For what? For what? To ruin their family life?
Right.
The rape don't matter anyway. That's why I wrote the book. Her rape doesn't count.
Yeah.
It would never count. Even if you've got a rape kit sitting in Sacramento that has his DNA in it that they took out of your body, even if you have that right now, it does not matter. It doesn't count. That's why I wrote the book.
That makes sense.
Okay. I'm so glad.
Well, and one key part, too, was you mentioned how didn't she meet Joe with you once and have the daughter with her?
One time, yes. Lisa and I were shopping, and I'd run into Joe quite often at the mall, and he would be pushing his daughter around. I did introduce them. The thing is, Joe wasn't wearing a ski mask that day.
Right.
Nor was he wearing a motorcycle helmet. And Lisa had totally changed her look. Lisa was a very smart woman, one of the most intelligent women that I've ever met. She had changed her looks completely. He wasn't growling at her either. He didn't say, nice to meet you. You know, it was, hi, Lisa, nice to meet you. You know what I mean? It was a totally different experience for her.
Yeah.
And you would never know what he was thinking, whether he recognized her or not.
He did not. Lisa, I can tell you from photos that I've seen of her before I met her, she looked like a totally different person.
Mm.
And she did that on purpose. She never wanted to be out in public with Ruby. And to run into this man, she had no idea who this man was. Did he live down the street? Did he shop in her grocery store? Did he belong to her church? Was it a friend of her dad, her brother? She never wanted, she had no idea who this man was. So she changed everything about herself to protect that little girl, and she will till the day she dies.
And how does she feel about it now and about the book coming out and mentioning her in it?
The book, it's almost like I put Lisa through a shredder, or put her in a blender, you know. You could never piece it together and figure out who she is. I can tell you this, and this is very interesting for anyone interested in the book. There are other people that have come forward to me. I am actually friends with a few of his known and numbered victims. However, through this process, I have two others, one that I'm going to co-author a book with, that had terrible experiences with Joe. One was a very long, long relationship, and the other, just a rape victim. However, these women need a voice. These women need a platform. And if I can do that for them, I could die a happy woman. I created a page on Facebook called Silent Survivors, where I've had women, who are survivors of sexual assault, not just of Joe, but of anyone. Women need to have a platform. Women need to have that voice. And that is my number one priority. The Joe thing is just, it's real close to home with me. But there are many women out there that need our support, that we need the laws changed. There should never be a statute of limitation on a rape. We need to create a platform where our girls are not afraid to speak.
Yeah, it's really important. So overall, what would you want a reader to get from your book? Like, what's the most important thing they're going to take away from the book?
I believe I started the book out. I wanted people to know where I came from. I wanted people to know my mindset. I was really a very innocent young girl. I want young girls maybe in high school or college to realize how easy it is to be manipulated, especially by a master. To me, Joe was a master manipulator.
Mm-hmm.
to be aware that monsters walk among us. And I want young girls to know that they do have a voice. And there's help out there. They just need to reach out. They don't have to be afraid anymore. It's a different world now. I want this world to change. I want us to have stronger, smarter young girls. You know, and hopefully we can raise better humans. I hope it influences some women to talk to their sons. And I hope it opens minds. I hope it ruffles some feathers, which I think it has.
Yeah.
But it's really, truly, I hope it opens minds and hearts.
Yeah. Well, now, of course, your book is available at fine bookstores and Amazon, and the publisher is R.J. Parker. And now, do you have a website as well, or is that just where people find you?
I do not have a website. I do have the Silent Survivors on Facebook for any woman out there listening that just needs an ear, that needs some advice on where to go. We need to support each other, you know, and that's what I'm here for. I'm here for women.
Fantastic. We're going to have that up on our website, as well as a link to your book. And so any of the listeners listening can just do one click and pick up the book. Again, the book is called Innocence Lost, and the author is Daisy Coombs. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Daisy.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show is over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Yeah. Good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show is over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Yeah. Good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.